Just before Graham comes to speak to us, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd help us to listen as Graham comes to talk to us. Pray that the things that he talks about, we might be able to relate to our own lives. Just pray that by your Spirit you would help us to do that, because that's often the hardest thing. Easy to hear and maybe to understand, but to put into practice is a different thing. Amen.
Great. Well, do have that open in front of you. It'd be really helpful to follow that little story that we're going to spend a few minutes looking at. I spend a fair bit of time giving talks, not surprisingly, being a minister here at Avenue, elsewhere as well. When you're standing in front of people, I don't know if you realise this, when I stand in front of you, I notice how much people pay attention. I do. You can be aware of people being distracted. Sometimes it's because we have a herd of children moving from the toilets back to their classroom, and that's fairly obvious. Speaking at a university barbecue earlier in the summer, probably the greatest distraction there was, while giving an evangelistic talk, a streaker ran. People were a bit distracted. But any kind of average university CU talk, there's usually the beep of a text somewhere, and then I see someone's head go, and they're replying to the, or there's just a look on people's face. You know, you look at people and you think, you're just not listening, are you? Anyway. The trouble is, I know that when I'm sitting listening to people, my body language can be awful. You know, people can look at me, I'm sort of my head in my hands, just, and it looks like I'm not paying any attention. So I'm well aware of that. Some impressions can be misleading sometimes, but I also know from listening how easy it can be for our minds to wander. You know, something that happened yesterday, something that will happen later today, something that might never, ever happen ever in life, but we think about it anyway. And part of it, of course, is that we live busy lives. We have lots of stuff running round our heads. We can't escape that reality. A part of it, I think, is that we live in a culture that operates in sound bites. And actually, we're used to things just being, 10 seconds long, and anything more than that, and our attention starts to drift. The bottom line, though, has to be that we give our attention to what we think is important. Well, let's hold those thoughts in mind, and we'll look at this story together about Mary and Martha. The scene isn't hard to picture, is it? Verse 38, Jesus' disciples are on their way. We know that they're on their way to Jerusalem. That's the whole setting of this. The big journey to Jerusalem through lots of these second half of the chapters of Luke. He comes to a village and Martha opens her home to him. Come and stay, a bit of hospitality. And then Jesus is sitting in the front room with with Martha's sister Mary, verse 38, sitting listening to what he was saying, while Martha, meanwhile, is getting some kind of meal ready. I was talking to Karis about this, and she said, oh, I really feel for Martha. There is something peculiarly annoying about having lots to do and someone that you think ought to be helping you, not helping you, but kind of, joining in the fun instead. And the cupboard doors start to be banged closed just a little bit harder, and the pots are put down slightly more firmly, and the temperature rises in more ways than one. And eventually Martha strides into the front room, verse 40, and says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Jesus, tell Mary to get where she belongs. But Jesus says, verse 41, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, indeed only one. Mary's chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. I think there is understanding and tenderness in that answer. Martha, Martha, I know where you're at. I know how worried and concerned you are. I know what's on your mind. I know all your anxieties, I understand, but you're wrong. No, I won't tell her to come and help. She's chosen something good here. She's chosen something better. Now, this phrase has been debated, the sort of the few things are needed, indeed only one. Some people have said, well, maybe Jesus is saying, Martha, you ought to keep the meal really simple. You don't need as many dishes. In fact, you only need one dish or something like that. I'm not persuaded. I think this one thing that's needed must be the good thing, the better thing that Mary has chosen. And I think it's all about listening to Jesus. See, come back to verse 39. Mary is sitting at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said, listening to his word. And then comes the contrast. The end of verse 39, beginning of verse 40, but Martha. Mary sitting, listening, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. The original wording actually doesn't include the idea of things that had to be done. It's simply that she was distracted with much preparation. She was distracted with all her busyness, as it were. And in fact, the word for distracted there, it has the sense of genuinely perhaps wanting to listen. Maybe she even started by listening. Maybe she stood at the back of the front room and then just popped out to the kitchen occasionally. But she's distracted by what's going on there and so pulled away from hearing what Jesus is saying. And I think that fits with his words in verse 41. You are worried and upset or anxious, concerned. Your mind is on so many things. You've got lots of stuff going, buzzing around your head. And it is distracting you from the one thing. Now we need to be careful here, because sometimes the stuff of life does press in on us and crowd out everything else. You know, is there something important happening at work tomorrow that you've been thinking about already in the service? Is there a family crisis you can't get out of your mind? You know, you can't escape the reality of life. And I don't think we need feel guilty about those big things of life popping into our head sometimes. You can't not do that. That's not being human. But here, I think, there is the feeling that this is a decision that Martha has made, and she could have decided otherwise. She could have chosen Mary's path. And so she is living life choosing to juggle all these balls at once, worried and upset about many things, rather than the focus that Mary has. She has chosen what Jesus says is better, or what is good. I mean, it's amazing, actually, isn't it? You think, I mean, Jesus we know is a humble man, and yet here he says, Mary has chosen the best thing by listening to me. You know, sitting and listening to me is the best choice you could ever make. And I won't take that away from her. And so the contrast, I think, is between someone focused on listening to Jesus and someone distracted by everything else. Now, we know the meal wouldn't prepare itself. And we know Jesus commends people for their practical service, shown in things like hospitality. And so, in a sense, questions remain of this passage, I think. We have to remind ourselves, we don't know the practicalities of the day. We don't know how long it was until tea time. We don't know how many things need to be prepared and so on. But I think the way Jesus responds here means that Martha is doing more than was needed, which was distracting her. And so she is described as pulled away, worried about other stuff, rather than listening to Jesus. And so there's our main point. That is our only point, really, this morning. Are we focused on listening to Jesus, or are we distracted? But before we press on with that thought, which we'll press on with in a moment, I just want to mention one other thing. I just want us to notice that Mary is the one sitting listening to Jesus. And in Jesus' day, that was remarkable. Women would have been relegated to the kitchen, not allowed in on the male discussion. Their place was in the background serving, not in the thinking and learning. But not with Jesus. Jesus wanted women to learn and to think and to take part and to be trained and to grow in their knowledge of him. And so I won't send her to the kitchen, he says. And unfortunately, the church has sometimes managed to give off the impression that women should leave the theology to the blokes while they get on with some cooking. And that is a travesty. Now, so I'm not misunderstood, I should probably also say that I do believe in male headship, properly defined, in both the church and the home. But my point is simply that is never a reason for not encouraging women to grow and learn in their understanding, both in their relationship with Jesus, their ability to teach others about Jesus, and so on. And so I want to say about us at Avenue that we want to have that culture, everyone learning. And I think we do have that. You know, I'm glad to say that. But can I just say to the blokes, one of the main ways we will encourage that culture is by valuing the contributions and the thoughts and thinking and the comments of the women around us. Home group, general conversation, after services. And sometimes blokes don't quite do that. I think we do overall. I just want to encourage us in that. But back to the main point. Okay, that was an aside. Back to the main point. Mary is focused. Martha is distracted. And so Jesus commends Mary and he gently rebukes Martha. And we have to ask ourselves what distracts us from listening to Jesus speak. We hear him speak through the words of the Bible, where his words and the words of God and the actions of God and so on are written to us, all of which forms his living word, which he speaks to us today. And our great privilege and the great wonder is we can sit at Jesus' feet and hear him speak today. Well, we can't see him face to face, but he still speaks through his word by his spirit. And that is a great thing. That is a wonderful thing. The question is, are we distracted? Or are we focused? In our own reading of the Bible, by ourselves, in our discussing it together in our home groups, in listening here on a Sunday. What distracts us? We've got to be careful with this sort of question as well, because how much you can say read the Bible by yourself, or how well you can concentrate on a Sunday morning or whatever, is affected by lots of stuff of life. You know, being a young mum, for example, with very young kids can be a killer on your personal Bible reading, as can times of illness or hardship. Working shifts can be a killer in concentrating on Sunday mornings, and so on. So we mustn't kind of beat ourselves up unnecessarily here. But we must ask the question, what am I distracted by? What pushes listening to Jesus out of my mind? There is, of course, the competition for our attention, where I'd prefer to sit in watching TV than go to home group, or I'd prefer to read the paper than read my Bible. Or I prefer to be doing stuff than listening, even doing really good church stuff, keeping myself busy. But then, even when I am listening, even when I am reading the Bible, discussing in home group, sitting in church, I can be distracted. You know, when I sit reading the Bible by myself, I so easily read and think of what this will mean for other people first. It's almost inevitable because I spend so much of the time teaching the Bible, but that's my instinct, rather than hearing Jesus' voice to me personally. I think practically are any distractions you can get rid of. You know, don't plan such a complicated Sunday lunch that you spend sitting through the sermon worrying about it. Don't sit here or in home group thinking of all the people you could text, or could you get away with texting them. When I read the Bible by myself, I put a notepad usually to one side and a pen, because I know the moment I sit down and read, all the things I have to do that day will jump into my head, and I'm worried I'll forget them. And I put the notes, so I just write it down. And by the end, I've got a great list. But having written it down, I can then come back and I can read without being distracted. We live in a culture that is so, has so much competition for our attention. You know, we barely have moments of quiet reflection. And our priorities, you see, our priorities here won't sort themselves out by themselves. Left to ourselves, we won't have focused listening to Jesus. We have to say that. Left to ourselves, it won't happen. We have to make decisions on this. We have to say, how will I work at focused listening? And I think this is one of those areas where it's worth saying that quality is probably more important than quantity, although I say that cautiously. See, most of the time we talk about something like personal Bible reading, most of us feel bad about quantity, thinking it's not very often. Well, and some of us maybe should feel bad, because frankly it does reveal bad priorities. Haven't picked up the Bible by myself for a month or whatever, never make it to home group. That I want to ask you, look at yourself. What are you thinking? What are you doing? Let's talk about that. Okay, so some of us should be struck by that. But my point, in a sense, is that what we need, what we're after, is not a rule of I read the Bible this number of times a week, or I'm at home group this number of times, or whatever. What we're after is good quality listening. In that sense, I'd prefer that we read our Bible a couple of times a week, maybe, but it's a genuine listening to Jesus where we say, yes, I've heard and I've responded, rather than I've glanced distractedly more often. So can I ask you, what is your listening like? What distracts you from hearing Jesus speak? And can I push you, Jack, perhaps to a slightly more fundamental question? The fundamental question in listening is back to that issue of how important I think it is. How important I think hearing Jesus speak and setting the agenda for my life is, indeed whether I am willing to let him do it. See verse 39 again. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet. Now, it's not actually saying where she happened to be in the room. You know, there are his feet, she's next to them. That's not what it's saying. It's almost a technical phrase for being someone's disciple. Elsewhere in the Bible, the Apostle Paul, we're told, says, I sat at the feet of Gamaliel, who was a rabbi guy. And what he means is, I was his pupil. I learnt from him. He was my master. I was his disciple. There is Mary's relationship with Jesus. Sitting at his feet where he is the teacher, trainer, master, Lord. And she is listening and learning. What's Martha's attitude? By contrast, her words in verse 40 are very revealing. Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to do it myself? Tell her to help me. She's annoyed that Jesus doesn't agree with her agenda. If he did, he wouldn't have left me to do all this by myself. So that very thought actually ought to cause us to pause, shouldn't it? And there are times we question God's care for us, usually when times are very hard in some way. But this isn't like that. This isn't questioning whether Jesus cares because of my suffering or something. This is asking whether Jesus cares because he doesn't seem to fit with something that I think is necessary. And she doesn't stop to say, well, maybe I've got the wrong priorities here. Maybe I'm more worried about all this stuff than Jesus would be. Maybe I'm setting my standards differently to how he'd want me to. And underneath, you see, the distraction of Martha, as opposed to the focus of Mary, is this attitude to Jesus. Well, we can think to ourselves, either listening to him is the most important thing in life that will shape the rest of my life, because he is my master, my Lord, my teacher, who I want to listen to and be guided by. I want to sit at his feet. Or we press on with life saying, I hope Jesus fits with my agenda and what I think's important. Mary sits listening. Martha tells Jesus what he ought to do. You see the difference? The master and Lord you listen to, or someone you direct? And so I need to ask myself, most fundamentally, who sets the agenda for my life anyway? Is it all down to me? Is it down to the expectations of those around me? Or is it Jesus? Am I absorbed and worried and concerned about many things, like Martha was? Well, I can't avoid the demands and realities of life. But do I simply ask myself, what would Jesus want me to do about these things? How would Jesus want me to think and react here? Rather than telling him he ought to make it easier for me. And so most fundamentally, whether we listen to Jesus is all about whether we have him as our Lord or not. Mary says Jesus has chosen what is better. She's chosen the good thing. She's made the wise choice, the best choice. She is sitting listening to her Creator and her Saviour. What a great thing. What a privilege. And Jesus would want us to make that choice ourselves. Let's spend a moment in quiet, shall we? Just a moment's quiet reflection, and then I'll lead us in prayer. Just a moment for us to reflect on what Jesus is saying to us today. Father God, we thank you that you do speak, and you speak because you want a relationship with us. You are our Creator and our Saviour, who made us and saved us for yourself, to know you and love you and obey you. And we pray we would be those who listen to you, who long to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his words, and follow them and do them. Would you please help us with all the battles for our attention? Would you please help us with all those things that would distract us? Perhaps most of all, would you please help us with the attitude of our hearts, and help us be willing and want to listen to him? In Jesus' name, amen.